The topic that I had given to me to teach in the Bible school was Christian marriage and family. And I wouldn't really pick that for me. One, I don't do a lot of teaching down that line, typical teaching. Two, when you're dealing with another culture and everything else, it's like, well, how do you deal with marriage in a whole other culture and through interpreters and whatever else? And I just sought the Lord and said, what do I do? And he says, do what I've told you to do all along, preach the kingdom. And so basically, in about 5 seconds, I'll tell you what I preached for about 10 hours. Instead of seeking to have a great marriage, instead of seeking to have a great family, the Lord actually instructs us on Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Well, all these other things are everything else. You know, sometimes if we get so confused and there's so many things going on, and I mean, I'm in that category. At the same time, man, so it's nice to just slow down, draw back, and say, what's the basics? And the basic is this: if you'll seek him and his rulership, you know, his rulership over your heart, the kingdom's in your heart, and it's his rulership over your heart. And for to him have rulership, basically, you gotta hear him and then just do what he tells you to do. It's about that simple. And he said, everything else will be added unto you. And so if you can keep that focus. And so part of what took hours to try to say is, if you really develop your relationship with Jesus as just saying, I believe in you, I trust in you, I'm going to do my, I want to listen to you, I want to hear you, and then I'll do my, you know, with your help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll do it. And then all these other, and it helps just really focus and bring peace, because you're not trying to figure out how to do all these things. Here's the problem I see, is if you seek God just for like a healing, well, I've seen people that they came to us, one lady came to us years ago, and she heard that we believed in healing and prayed for people, and she came and she had cancer. She's only like 33 years old. She had cancer, and it was not good. She came and we prayed for her, and in the process, she heard the word of God. She started coming to church. She got born again. She got spirit filled. She started walking with God. And then within about a year, she was written up as totally cancer free, which was shocking to the doctors. And man, that's a great story, isn't it? And then we never saw her again. And I asked the Lord, I said, how is it that you can come into all this knowledge and then just want to, you know, walk away? And he just said, well, she came, you got to understand, she came with a goal of getting healed. And once she got healed, she met her goal. Now, that doesn't happen to everybody. I mean, she's still born again. She's still, you know. But our heart, my heart and your heart, longs for people not just to meet Jesus and believe in him to get saved, but also to walk with him the rest of their life. Amen? So I just did a funeral yesterday for a young man, 43 years of age, that died of a heart attack in the cafeteria of the school with his 7-year-old son. Pretty traumatic. Pretty frank, real tough stuff. And so they called me, and I didn't know the family all that well. I know a little bit of them, but I'd just say it was a full week. And there's just Matt, we're out of high school. I think there's probably 300-400 people. I don't know. It's pretty big. And I still get kind of, I don't know, I don't think you call it nervous, but it weighs on me to do those things. And what weighs on me is that life is, I was just talking to Chris, you know, about some of the Old Testament prophets like Samson. He had one moment where he's really strong and does something great, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and it's like the rest of his life was totally screwed up. And so moments do count. And for a lot of people, when tragedy happens like that, it's a moment that they can either turn towards the Lord or they can get bitter towards God. Anyway, it was a full day of ministering to hurting people. And God really opened up a lot of doors. I think I had conversations for 5 hours. And some of them are seeds that we planted years ago, or God did, and some of it was just... But anyway, there was just an incredible openness. Afterwards, just people coming up and talking and crying, and then people, they're hungry, but they are scared. They're scared to commit. They're scared to so many of them said, boy, I've been thinking about coming to church. I should be getting there, you know, and it's like... I said, well, that's not the real issue, but you do need to have friends, and you need help. We all need help. So I'm going to ask you, what are you feeling from the people that you're around? What are you sensing? Well, I had several people that did say they're real concerned about the election and where we're going to go and what's going to happen. But anybody want to just share a little bit about just... the people around you that are hurting and what you see or perceive? And then if you don't have something down that line, say something. Let's talk about just how grateful we are for some of the things that are going on. And I know that's awkward, but let's do it anyway. Anybody like to share? Any perception you have in your heart? Yes, Ken. Let me put you on the mic. Just
I don't think I need. But I got to say, they say there's almost 20 million Christians who don't vote. Hopefully there's everybody in this room and in this society who are Christian, call themselves Christian, vote. Who you vote for, that's up to you. But it's very and very important that we vote and vote our hearts.
Amen. Anybody else? Lori?
Good morning. I'm just encouraged. I'm very encouraged. And like John said, I mean, kingdom living, get into the word and let that take care of everything. And wait on the Lord. It's pretty basic, pretty simple, very profound. So I'm very, very encouraged. I don't spend a lot of time on the election stuff. I do a lot of praying. I'm in the community center. I'll lay hands on it and I'll pray on it. And I'm just, yeah, we're supposed to walk in peace and we're supposed to walk in love. And it's just very encouraging. When I do get bouts of doubt or bouts of sadness or bouts of whatever, that's my indication to put down what I'm doing and run to the Lord.
Amen. How are people, do you feel like some of your friends in your conversations, are people at peace or that in general terms?
Mm-hmm. I think overall, just bouncing between 3 12-by-12s throughout the community, I feel like people are very angry. And I think a lot of it comes from just not fully knowing, you know, what is and what isn't. And there's a scripture verse that I sat on for quite a few years when I was ministering to the teens, probably at least one, if not longer, every week I spend off of this verse. And it was, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And it's very difficult, I think, right now to ascertain what you're being told is true or not. And, you know, and I'm kind of with Lori. I've kind of pulled back a lot from what people say, and have been pulling in very tightly to what the Lord says. And I feel that he is communicating to me, and has been for some time, that what can you do in this moment? And in this moment, you do what you can do. And so I've been focusing on the moments that I'm in and keeping my peace and doing the thing that I can in that moment. But in doing that, you know, there is a full confidence that he is working on my behalf. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, I told some people, I'm just so stinking happy to be here. I pulled up and I was like, doggone, I am so happy to be here. And the reason is because I know the people here and I know them and I love them, but it is reciprocated. They know me and they love me. And what a wonderful thing to know, to be with people that know you and love you. And that is the thing that we can offer people, is that not only can we avail ourselves to get to know them and to hear their stories, but we can love them in that story. And whatever it is that they're going for. And we don't have to communicate what our perception is of what is or isn't, but in the moment, do the moment and trust him in that. And then the next moment will come. And he is in all of it. And his and as I, you know, part of what reciprocated this as I was pulling up is that this morning, I was just journaling all the things that happened this week, and it had been a full week. But I'm very content in my life. I'm very content in where I am, and I know that is coming from my intimacy and my relationship with him, and I wouldn't give it up for anything.
Yeah. Amen. We've gone through some tough stuff. Been through a lot of stuff.
So I'm been back and forth. Allison, I'm a verbal processor, so I'm one of those people that will just be rattling off things in my head, and I'm not actually talking to you. I'm just processing. But it's been back and forth. I have a lot of freedom with what I do on the daily to talk with the guys that I ride with, but I have to still be careful, because if you upset them, then they'll go complain, and you know, you might find yourself being talked to or whatever. But my job has a lot more flexibility and my freedom to, you know, I have learned over time to be offensive in the way that, on the offensive, should I say, to presenting things, so that I'm putting it in there, you know, so I'm not just throwing it at them, because, you know, we tend to do that when we want to get our point across. But there's, you know, most of the guys that I ride with, they don't talk about it. I mean, they're hoping that certain person gets elected, but you know, I've probably been the biggest, most vocal person on that. I mean, I know we live in a fallen world. There are promises in the Bible that God has plans for us to have a prosperous life, and not because he wants us to live in this lavishness, it's because the gospel requires resources. And if you're going to spread the gospel, you got to have resources. And you can't be doing that if you're busy trying to figure out when your next bill is going to get paid. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to make a difference on who's running the country. Are they our Savior? By no means. Jesus is on the throne. He's the guy that provides. He uses our areas that we're at. You know, that's his venue. So it's challenging, because, you know, I know there's still life in this world. And you know, I don't know when he's coming back, but I was talking to a friend here earlier today about, you know, it's, you know, people are getting freaked out about the end times. Well, I mean, we've been in the end times since Jesus ascended. And every time I read the Gospels, I am shown that we haven't even approached the tribulation time. Yes, there's a lot of stuff that Jesus said, this is the end times, this is what you're going to see in those, and we're seeing a lot of those signs, but I don't believe we've even come close to the tribulation point yet. I think we're backing on it, but I don't think we're there yet, but that's just what I've been observing. So I would like to see a certain person elected. I think that would help, but you know, Jesus is still there, and Jesus has testimony. I mean, you see a movie called Faith Like Potatoes. I mean, a guy that reaped a harvest of the largest potatoes ever grown in a drought, you know. So God can do things, and that's what we need to be focusing on. It's what I got to remind myself to stay focused on, is that he is my provider, and he's going to be there one way or another.
That's a good show. That's a good show. I haven't seen that one. Okay. Guy Dunnick is a friend of mine, minister. He wrote this. He woke up. He's got a. He sings. He preaches. He's really a solid guy. Anyway, he wrote this little poetic thing from, I believe, kind of like a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, maybe. But the Spirit says, open your mouth, unlock your heart, and unshackle your feet. For the hour is late, the time is short, the harvest is ripe. The call has been sounded, the Spirit is given, gifts are imparted. Wait not for tomorrow, wait not for more signs, wait not anymore. Move, move now. With unshackled feet, with passionate heart, and with a wide open mouth. The people are waiting. The Father is calling. Rewards will be given to all who take heed. And as Tammy was sharing and other, you know, all of us here, I think part of it is have that confidence, have that peace that the moment that you're in right now counts. And whoever you're with, you know, if you're at peace and you're confident in your own salvation, et cetera, then it allows you then actually to listen to people, and sometimes just by listening to people, it brings comfort to them. I'm kind of amazed just, in, you know, I met this family and I didn't know them all, whatever, but within a few minutes of just listening to them, you know, one of the brothers had just lost his wife 3 years ago, you know, to a brain tumor, and has two little kids, and then they lost an aunt, then they lost two dogs, and the kids are saying, man, are we even picked on? You know, I mean, you know, think about little kids going through the trauma of watching some of this. And yeah, at the same time, within a short time, I mean, they were hugging me and holding and crying and felt comfort and peace, and I hadn't really done anything or said anything much. Because why? Because there's the Spirit of God inside of you and me. And he oozes out. And the more that we just stay at peace, the more we stay confident, and when we start losing it, go to him. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll restore you. It's, you know. And so you and I have the same thing for everybody, as everybody else. We got to stay kind of close to the Lord. But here's Andrew Womack was ministering this. And I agree with it. It said, you know, John, it says, as I've loved you, go and love others the same way I've loved you. And he goes on, you know, to say that, what does he go in? I almost lost my train there. He said, they will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. I think if there's anything I want to encourage us all to focus on, and it's, how do you actually love one another? How do you do that? You know, as I was teaching this course on, you know, marriage and family, it's like, love your spouse as the way God has loved you. Love your kids the way God has loved you. And so we're all kind of in agreement with that, but it's like, you know, once in a while I have to slow down myself and say, how do you do that? How do you do that? And there are things that we're very, you know, there's a lot of real practical stuff. Jesus, you know, he loved us unconditionally without, when he says he loves us whether we respond or not. You know how powerful, I mean, how much power that would release in a marriage? If it wasn't, well, I did that for you. You didn't do nothing for me. I mean, you hear that in conversations, you know. Well, I'm just not getting my needs met in this marriage, so we're going to divorce. You know, it's like, well, if you do it the way Jesus does it, he chose to love us whether we respond or not. And we can do, and we have that capacity now to actually appreciate. You know, one of the things about love is just respect and honor. He respects and honors us. You know, if there's anything that breaks my heart sometimes is see an on-fire Christian trying to minister to somebody, being taught that they need to be bold, that they need to confront the evil, but they actually come across as extremely disrespectful to the people. There's not a compassion there. It's like, you know, like they're trying to prove a point. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to tell you just how bad you are, you know. And you're dying without Jesus. It's like, yeah, but that's not really respect that God respects us. Look how Jesus did. He threw out the seats to everybody, and he let them, you know. We have a hard time with that, not trying to force them into the right decision. Why? Because we don't want them to hurt. Have you ever just wanted to force your kid to do right so they didn't have the pain? You know, I mean, I said it. Some of you maybe say, you're in my house, you're going to do my rules. You know, it's like, and why are you doing that? Because I don't want you to get hurt. You know, and I don't want you to do the dumb things I did. Well, that's not going to happen. They're from you. They're born of the flesh. They're going to do dumb things. You're not going to save them by putting them in a bubble and not letting them come out. But you can help them by believing in the God that created them and that he actually does really love them. How do we actually love one another? And Andrew said it, and I agree with it. You know, we spend a lot of money on evangelism. We do a lot of things, and we need to continue to do that. But I really think we would win way more people if we focused a little bit more on the value of us loving one another and learning what that really means. I know it takes money. I know we need to prosper. And I know we need to be healed. And I know that we need joy. But if we focus in on just saying, Jesus, I trust you, you're my Father. Holy Spirit, you're here to teach me and help me. And I want to know how to love people like you love me. And I sincerely believe that we would have more people coming to him if they could see us loving one another. And I believe that we're doing it, okay? What Tammy said, I totally agree. I can't hardly wait to get here sometimes just because I just want to be in the presence of those that I love and that love me. And it gives me hope and gives me strength. Had a lot of people say, well, man, a lot of people are going to come to your building when you get a building. I go, well, they'll probably come to check it out. Who doesn't want to see, you know, something going up? I don't know. I'm not, I hope it doesn't sound bad. I'm not too focused on that. Talking to several of you, Doug is here, pastored, And I'm actually seeing, Doug, so many of my friends that have been pastored that are not pastoring now. And I believe God has led them out of the pastorate to go be involved in the world to reach them. And they're well trained now and they know. But I'm just hearing more and more of them saying, I'm helping more people by not being a pastor than I was being a pastor. Why I'm saying that is we still need pastors and all that, but you guys have a great opportunity just to love people around you. It'll work a lot better if you don't feel so pressured that you got to make it happen. And you got to convince them today or whatever else. Don't feel that pressure. The Holy Spirit will draw people. There's a real evil. We can't eliminate the fact that we live with an evil in the world. Amen. We have an enemy. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He has purposes that way. He wants to do things that way. Some things that happen are because he has attacked. Okay, and in the quietness of the darkness around us, there's a real evil plot going on. But don't forget that there's a real wonderful plot going on in the dark corners of all over the earth where God is reaching out to people every day. And I believe that the smallest, if we, The Lord used to tell me this. He said, oh, he says, think big, but do small things. Think big, but do small things. And those everyday small things that we do, I believe, are the most powerful things that is going to bring the greatest harvest in the world. Just small things with people. And if there's anything I would encourage you is just let yourself be aware that he's working through you when you don't know it. And then if you just keep a heart attitude of, number one, forgive yourself daily, moment by moment, minute by minute. Forgive others. You know, one of the biggest things that hinders a marriage is unforgiveness. Somehow we think it, I don't know, I find sometimes, why is it easier to forgive a total stranger and be kind to them and reach out to them than it is your own wife? You know, it's because, I don't know, you got expectations. You think you know what your husband should be doing, and he's not doing it, so, I can forgive the heathen out there. He doesn't know what he's doing, but my husband, he should know what he's doing. You know, he's still flesh. Remember, Jesus didn't die to make us good. He died to make us alive, and we're alive. Anyway, what is love? And after all these years, I have to say, that's still a big question to me. How do I love somebody? How do I fulfill what Jesus said? Love people the way I love you. And so one of the things we do is keep looking at Jesus and how he did it. He went about doing good. He was anointed to do good and to help people and just to appreciate them. If you need to get bold sometimes, that's about confronting him on something. There is a place where a good friend will rebuke, right? But in general, what I focus in on, do I have a heart that sincerely respects people? I'm going to close, but I was talking to my son, Nathan, last night, and we were just sharing about these things. And this guy that passed away actually ministered to my son a lot in his early days. He was always an encourager, and especially in the gym. He worked out a lot, and he actually is, my son ended up being a personal trainer, and it was actually Sam that encouraged him. Sam became one, and then Nathan became one. He says, he's kind of my hero, but he also had a lot of problems that caused a lot of pain for people. And himself. But I kind of forgot about this, but Nathan was saying, you know, Dad, when we first went over to the Philippines, he was about 13, I think, the second trip. And there's a bridge over this one place where we went and passed out tracts, and there were a lot of people there. And my son said to you, he remembers to this day that he was walking along, you know, looking, and all of a sudden something hit his foot. And he saw, looked down, and here's a little boy with, couldn't walk. Not sure he had his arms. He's on a skateboard. And he just looked up to my son and smiled. He said, it's one of those moments where you go, oh my gosh. This kid's not only poor, he has no legs and no arms. He gets around on a skateboard. I'm telling you the truth, it's just, you look and you go, it's inconceivable. How do you even function? And he said, I think about that, Dad, every time I want to get griping, complaining. And I said, those are good moments to remember. But then it's a really good moment to say, God, I'm going to just trust you and believe you that you put love in my heart. The Spirit of God's inside of me. Teach me and help me. I want to love people. Several people have told me lately, you know, that are in the ministry or in whatever, they said, I really like my job if it wasn't for people. And it's okay to joke, I guess, but be careful. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. And be careful what you let come in your own ears. But God so loved the world that he gave his son and will not withhold one thing. How can we not have that same attitude? I mentioned to one guy after the funeral, we were at the Loud, and he signaled me, and I ended up talking to him for a while. Did their marriage, walked to him with some real tragedies. And in my message, I said, if Sam could come back out of this casket just for a few seconds and talk, what would he say? It's something I think about all the time. I kind of like the idea of people that get to see heaven and come back and tell us a little bit, don't you? My dear friend Larry Jones, he was our accountant, dear brother, and believed in healing and all that. Anyway, when he finally said to me, Pastor, I'm ready to go home to Jesus. And I go, you sure? I'll honor your decision, but I really don't want you to leave. And so here he is within hours of passing away. And he said, I don't know, for whatever reason. I've had so many people actually say, Pastor, is it okay if I go home? And it's like, who am I to give you that answer? But I realize sometimes it's important what I say. And if I have the peace that it's okay for them to go, you know, I'll join them. If I think that they're just in a bad moment and we can get past it, then I'll tell them, buck up. You're not going yet. But with them, I kind of came to that point, and I said, so isn't it? Death is still an enemy, but it's lost its sting. And so in the midst of that, I said, okay, Larry, I'll agree with you and I'll let you go. But I said, under one condition. And Larry's a pretty serious guy, isn't he, Susie, in a lot of ways. And he says, what's that? And I said, okay, you go talk to Jesus or somebody for a little bit, and then come back and tell me, and then I'll let you go. And poor Larry, he looked at me and goes, that's kind of a hard request, John. I'm not sure I can do that. But if somebody could come back after just a few moments there, I said, what would they say? And I really believe they'd say, hey, guys, it's all real. It's really real. This man I was talking to just said, when you said that, he said, it pierced my heart, and he started crying. And I'd kind of forgotten the story until he reminded me, but there was a situation in his life where he left his body. He was in an accident and he died. And he said, I got to see my aunt and I got to see some people in heaven. And he came back and he said, from that day forth, I have no fear of dying. You know, it's kind of like looking at this picture in it. You just kind of want to walk down that path into peace and joy forever and ever. You know, whatever we can do to help whoever we're with, I have to tell myself all the time, I would love to see people just totally get committed and totally get delivered and totally get healed and totally get joyful. But I got to remind myself, sometimes all we get to do is just pick them up a little bit and help them get down a few more feet down the road. And that's a lot. Let's just keep doing it. But I will say this. When people say, how's the church going? I go, we're in a real awesome place where we love one another. It's not even a confession of faith. It's a confession of reality. I really believe and I feel love from you. I see you loving each other. We can still improve, right? But I think we got to acknowledge what's really here right now. We actually do love each other. And that's no small thing. I believe we'll touch more people and have more harvest. But It's not like I think, okay, let's love one another so we can win them all. It's like, no, we get to love each other because that's what he died for, so that we become one. It's a sweet deal. It's a sweet deal. Amen. All right, let's stand. You know, I've said this before, but there's just some really powerful stuff going on. There's some big stuff going on. We got some incredible future. You know, my chiropractor's all in on getting me healed so I can keep flying all over the world. And in some ways I go, yeah, and then I go, yeah, but then I can't be here. I'd be happy and content if it's just us finishing our life, living a peaceful, quiet life. And I believe we can do that, but I believe by doing that and loving one another and growing in this, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, speaking words of power. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and power to go about doing good. You are powerful and I am powerful. We just walk in this. I really do believe for such a time as this, and we are. The darkness has its agenda, but here's the deal. We're winning, and we will win, and we will bring in the harvest, and we will. It's not a question of what's going to happen. Light always wins over darkness. It's not a debate. So let's keep enjoying it, okay? Father, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Though this world has pressure and though this time down here has challenges, at the same time, Father, may we always be, as Jody shared, aware and acknowledge that you have given us peace inside, and it comes out and changes the outside. The outside doesn't change us. The peace of God that you put inside of us changes the circumstances. May we just be aware of that, acknowledge that, and help us. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are sent to be one call alongside of us to help us, and we say thank you to the Father, to the Son, and to you, Spirit, that you're always there, you're always helping us. And because you really do live inside of us now, we actually can say, as God so loved the world, so do we. So do I. I love the world. Didn't come to judge it. Didn't come to condemn them. I came to give them life. We're part of you. We're one with you now. So it's not just you, Jesus. It's us now because you are in us. What a miracle. What a great thing. And I release, Lord Jesus, just the anointing of God on each person in here to walk in that peace, to walk in that joy, to walk in that instruction, to receive their own needs of love and peace, but also to release it like a river of living water out of them. I thank you, Jesus, that thy kingdom has come. And your will is being done. And we rest in that. So be it. Amen. Well, I do love you.